This morning's reading is taken from Galatians 5, verses 13 to 26. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Barbara. It's no fun reading long lists like that, is it? Good morning. My name's Peter Dowman. I'm a retired clergyman, and I have the delight of being a member and worshipping here. It's a really exciting place to be. I've been looking forward to looking at today's Bible reading with you. I'll find my clicker now. Oh, there it is. Come back. There you are. Thanks. It would be great if you could follow in the Bible. We're looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. You could follow in the church Bible, which is moved to the back of the hall, or you could follow on your smartphone. I've been asking people to remember to bring their Bibles and use them for the last 30 years. I'm not about to stop, but nobody ever listens. If you are using a church Bible, it's page 1172. And the topic of the day isn't going to move. The whole life of Christ. Fruitfulness. So I guess I'm supposed to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23 say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today my task is to encourage us all to produce spiritual fruit by inviting the Holy Spirit not just to work but to reign in our hearts. And that's where we're heading. Now, I know a good little ditty. A ditty or an earworm. If I sing it, you will remember it. Hopefully for the right reasons. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. You'll have to come and... If I'm doing it wrong, love. Yeah.
Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness,
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's a nice little earworm. May that plague you for the rest of your lives. Can we have the next picture, team? I think they've broken it. Have you broken it? Oh, it's there. That's good. That's what we were singing about. I find it more difficult than it sounds to produce fruits of the Spirit in my life. And I've struggled the last couple of days to put this talk together. So we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will speak to us from your word, that you will be a real earworm and get into our heads and change us. We want to live for Jesus with the whole of our life. We want to be fruitful for you. Help us to learn together and be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll know, some people get frightened when you mention the Holy Spirit and they only see the flames, but there's also a dove in the picture, isn't there? So let's take on board the dove, because the Holy Spirit is gentle and will work gently on us. Now, I know you've got a thousand things on your mind. What do we do with the difficult stuff that we've got in our everyday lives? What do we do with the stuff that challenges us when we want to follow Jesus? Let me introduce you to the blue parrot. The blue parrot sits on my shoulder and says, "Yes, do that. It's easy and you'll enjoy it." But then the red parrot comes along and you hear the Holy Spirit saying, "Jesus wouldn't do that. Don't you do it either." And life's a constant struggle between the two parrots who sit on your shoulder, one saying do, the other saying don't, one saying don't and the other saying do. You can tell the difference. You know which one's which. You know which one is God speaking. But sometimes we choose to do the other thing. Why is that? Paul says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." We've stopped wanting, anyway. The Spirit says one thing, the flesh says another. Paul tells us that we're not to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it, because we sometimes want to do wrong things. And I hope there's nobody in the room who would deny that sometimes they want to do the wrong thing. God's been encouraging me to talk about that struggle which we all face. It's a daily struggle. Indeed, it's a minute-by-minute struggle. Someone cuts in on you on the road. It's a momentary decision. Do you say, "I hope you crash in flames"? Or do you say, "Bless you, I hope you arrive safely"? You don't get long to decide which you're going to think, do you? It can be a lifelong struggle against addiction. It can be a long life struggle to forgive someone. It can be a long life struggle to accept yourself. At the end of the reading there, verse there, Paul says, "You're not to do whatever you want." We have freedom, but we have freedom to do right, not freedom to do wrong. Not only should we not want to do wrong, we actually should want to do right. That's why we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh every day, sometimes more than once a day. The letter to the Galatians was probably the earliest of Paul's letters, written in about 49 AD, so it's very early in the history of the church. He wrote it to at least four churches in Galatia, which he established. There'll be three groups of people in this room. Some of you will admire Paul for trying to establish order in the slightly chaotic early church. There'll be those of you who distinctly dislike Paul for laying down rules while claiming there were no rules. And there'll be some of you who have no idea who Paul was. In this letter, Paul is trying to clarify some of the muddle that other teachers had brought to the Galatian church. He was trying to encourage the Galatian Christians to grow on firm foundations and not allow themselves to be hindered or slide back into old ways. Paul had pioneered the churches in Galatia. You can read about it in Acts 13 and 14. Paul had a special status as a teacher. He was an apostle. He'd been sent by Jesus and God the Father. But the newly arrived teachers were denying that. The troublesome teachers were trying to confuse the Galatian Christians with Jewish kinds of rules. So Paul is a teacher, and we should listen. After all, his teaching is included in the Bible. Paul speaks for God to all of us here today, just like Paul spoke for God to the Galatian Christians he wrote his letter to. That's the way the Bible works. It meant something then, it means something now. At the beginning of Galatians chapter 5, we read, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Before Jesus, the Jewish religion had all been, do this, keep the Sabbath holy. Don't do that, no adultery. It was all about rules, very little to do with living, forgiving, or loving. And many people think that of Christianity today. It's all about rules. But we know that's not the truth. We know it's all about freedom to do right and forgiveness where we go wrong. We need to proclaim to the world what Christians do believe, what we do, who we're for, what we're for, and not be known by the world for what we're against, for what God is against. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And Paul says, treasure that freedom and rejoice in that freedom, but use that freedom wisely. Teachers were trying to persuade the men to be circumcised. It might have reduced their chances of being persecuted for being Christians, but it was not necessary for the gospel. In verse 6 we read, In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor lack of it has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Well, I don't think we need to worry too much about the circumcision question. The important thing is that faith, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. If we want to leave a mark on this world, we want to express faith through love. In verse 1 of chapter 5, Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and we need to monitor how we use that freedom. In verse 6, Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And that's where our reading today started off, really. Oh, that's interesting. Wasn't planning to sing a song. Are we all pressing buttons together? We'll come to that in a minute. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the challenge for today. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can you do that? Now, I've given the game away because there's a mirror now. I brought along a handy visual aid. Ladies often carry a mirror in their handbag. Gentlemen rarely do. I wonder why that is. If you look in the mirror, what do you see? Well, I can see I could do with a beard trim. What do you see? You see yourself. Now, a story is told of three people in a lift. A perfect woman, a perfect man, and Father Christmas. There's a £10 note on the floor. I must pick that up in a minute. Which of the three of them in the lift picked it up? Well, the answer I was given, it was the perfect woman, because the other two don't exist. But it was a woman who told me that. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Perfect man. Depends which angle I hold it at. If you look in the mirror and you see a perfect man or a perfect woman, you are deluded. You might be handsome, you might be beautiful, you might look young, or you may be well preserved. But look beneath the skin, look into your head, look into your heart. Deciding to be a Christian, asking for a fresh new start, means you are a new creation. It is possible to live differently, putting God and love for others first. Christians are people who know they're not perfect, who come to God to say sorry and to ask for forgiveness, who claim the forgiveness won by Jesus' death and resurrection at Easter. The key to what we do is to say more than sorry. It's to say, yes, God, I am sorry, but also with your help, I will not do those things again. It's an intention to live a better life, as well as saying sorry for things you've done in the past. It's to say, with your help, I'll not do those things again, and to mean it. And then to accept God's help to live like that. That's how we are forgiven. That's how the slate is wiped clean. That's how we receive a fresh start. And that's what Paul calls freedom. So how might we use our freedom? Paul says in our reading, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do just whatever you want. Now look in the mirror again. What do you see? Paul lists some of the possibilities in verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now, I do hope that not all of those are in your list of activities since you became a Christian. They might well be there before you became a Christian, but since you became a Christian, they probably should not be. Indeed, they should not be. I'm sure they're not. But some of them might well be. The one that hit me in that list was fits of rage. Now, as I mature as a Christian, they do reduce, but they still do occasionally pop out when cut up by a driver. No. But I do trip up. I do trip over. I do make mistakes. I do decide to do wrong things. We're to walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. A parrot on your shoulder. The trouble is, the wicked parrot is always about. Listen to what Paul says earlier in the chapter. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. But the good parrot is always about two, but may not be squawking so loudly or so attractively. Maybe your friends and families are not hearing him, not paying attention to him. Stick close to God through reading the Bible with the help of God the Holy Spirit. Ask him to help you to understand it. Pray naturally and easily about the questions, challenges, and difficulties you have. Seek advice from Christians you trust. Join a CSK small group if you can. Share matters of living faith with friends. Despite God's awesome power and authority, he doesn't force us to do this. It's our responsibility. It's our daily decision. Shall I? Shan't I? Shan't I? Shall I? I have to decide daily, frequently, every day, to do God's thing. As for those who are teaching circumcision, Paul says he wishes they'd go the whole hog and castrate themselves. He was pretty cross, as you can tell. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We can use that freedom to go forward in faith or to slip back and daily pay less attention to Jesus than we know in our heart that we should. The thing that counts, the only thing that counts, is faith expressing itself through love. Our reading started off, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." And now for the verses we've been looking forward to in the passage. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, we're not meant to specialise. You're not meant to specialise in the thing in the list you find most attractive. They're not meant to be seasonal fruits. You're not only supposed to show joy at Christmas, harvest, Easter and Pentecost with a vague flurry at harvest. These are fruits of the Spirit that we're all supposed to show all of the time. Because if we let the Holy Spirit rule in our lives, guide us so that we follow Jesus, we will all show these fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let's each hold up a mirror in front of us. You haven't got a mirror, but just imagine. Look in the mirror now. What can you see? Where are the fruits obvious in your life? And which of the fruits are a bit hard to see? Which fruits are completely missing? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Let's pray again. Loving Father, as we hold up the mirror to our lives, help us to see what you see. Help us to hold the vision of being fruitful Christians who produce the fruits of the Spirit gladly and easily and regularly and constantly. Heavenly Father, where you see things which are not right, show us. Show us gently, but show us. Help us to see where we let you down each day. Help us to walk in the Spirit, to be your people in this place, and to see our world changed as we love our neighbor, as we follow our Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.